Hey, Happy Friday. I'm out of my studio again. This week, Apple just gave up and decided to make Siri use Gemini in the background. Fairphone is booming and coming to the US, and Epic and Google settled their lawsuit. Welcome to the Friday Checkout. This video was sponsored by Nebula. Okay, for my first story of the week, Siri will apparently run Gemini in the background now. Bloomberg reported that Apple is nearing a $1 billion a year deal to use Google's AI for Siri. Specifically, Gemini will synthesize information and decide how to execute complex tasks for Siri, while some of the simpler features will continue to use Apple's in-house models. This is obviously because Apple's own in-house models have fallen behind, but the company apparently still wants to catch up later. Apple is, quote, working on a 1 trillion parameter cloud-based model that it hopes to have ready for consumer applications as early as next year, which would then replace Gemini again, if that works, that is. Of course, Apple made a big point about how private their AI is and how they have special cloud infrastructure for this, and interestingly, Bloomberg says that Gemini will run on Apple's own private cloud compute servers as well, ensuring that user data remains walled off from Google's infrastructure. Bloomberg also says that Apple want to keep this partnership under wraps, not really telling consumers about it, but if your Siri suddenly becomes smart, you'll know you have Google Gemini to thank. Wild. Okay, for my second story of the week, apparently Fairphone is doing great and also expanding to the US. The first thing the company announced is that they'll start selling their first product in the US later this month, which will be the repairable and modular over-ear headphones called the Fairbuds XL. Sales will start over Amazon in November with a launch price of $230, and Fairphone told me that spare parts would come later. Now, the press release actually used the words, quote, both products, which implies that they wanted to launch something else too, but then walked back from that. I asked to double check and they confirmed that this was an error, but obviously one hopes that something else might come to the US soon too, maybe the earbuds or maybe potentially eventually the phones as well, especially because their business actually seems to be doing really great. They say that their revenue was up 61% last quarter on the back of strong demand for the Fairphone 6. I've reviewed the phone and found it easily the most competitive Fairphone so far, so that isn't too surprising. Also, the company says that they have finally returned to profitability again after a short blip, which is good news. Now, Fairphone only sold about 100,000 phones in 2024, and even if we assume a 60% increase overall this year, that would still make them a very small player, but definitely going into the right direction at least. I've left a link to the product page of the Fairbuds XL down below, though at the time of writing it wasn't actually in stock yet. Okay, and for my third story of the week, the incredibly long saga of Epic versus Google might be finally reaching an end. In a court filing, they write, quote, Epic and Google have reached a comprehensive settlement. First, Google will no longer pay phone companies for exclusivity agreements to avoid shipping third-party app stores. Second, Google will enable users to seamlessly download and install certain third-party stores, referred to as registered app stores. And third, Google will also allow developers to flexibly steer users to payment alternatives to Google Play billing. Plus, there are a complicated set of new payment deals that include lowered fees from 9 to 20% from Google. There's a whole complicated web of calculations depending on what store you download what from and which payment method you use and etc. I'm not going to walk you through that, but yeah, Google's cut in general should be smaller. And best of all, while some of these rules only apply for the US, many actually go globally, so that's pretty exciting. Okay, and moving on to our release monitor, we start with the Red Magic 11 Pro, which is the world's first phone with actual liquid cooling built in. You can actually see the liquid moving around to distribute the heat, which is very cool, and beside that, it has all the usual Red Magic gestures like an active fan, an under-display selfie camera, and more. Meanwhile, Motorola introduced the Edge 70, which brings the thin and light craze down to the kind of upper mid-range category, and somehow still manages to include a very respectable 4800 mAh battery, plus also cameras that sound pretty decent on paper. And last in our release monitor is that IKEA has announced a new set of 21 affordable smart home products that are all also Matter compatible. These include lights, sensors, and remotes, and they all work using Thread, which is a huge win for compatibility. The IKEA stuff only goes on sale in January, but I've left links to all the other stuff down in the description, and now let's move on to the brief. In completely insane news, Reuters says that they found documents showing Meta, quote, projected 10% of its 2024 revenue would come from ads for scams or banned goods. 15 billion scam ads are shown a day, according to their own estimate, and the company only bans advertisers if its automated systems predict that the marketers are at least 95% certain to be committing fraud, and for anything below that, they just charge them a little bit extra. Cool. I swear, every time you read anything at all about Meta's business, they're always the worst people ever, like cartoon villain stuff all over again every single time. And sticking with the company, WhatsApp got a new and fully featured app on the Apple Watch, giving you support for stuff like full chats and call notifications without pulling out your phone and more. So now you can get scammed right on your Apple Watch. Great! And talking of Apple, the company's first major update for iOS and macOS 26 are out, and the update's biggest feature is that you can essentially turn liquid glass into looking way less liquid glass. You can set the background to look much more like regular frosted glass so the stuff on it can actually be read reliably over various backgrounds, which is, of course, revolutionary. Next, Google announced that they're exploring putting AI infrastructure into space. They're calling this project Suncatcher, and the plan is to equip solar-powered satellite constellations with TPUs, because a solar panel up in space can be up to 8 times more productive than on Earth and produce power nearly continuously. Everyone is complaining that power is one of the big bottlenecks of AI data centers down here, and I guess this would be one of the solutions for that, although I also imagine it would come with many different trade-offs. But then talking of Google AI, the firm has also added Gemini to Maps, so you can now talk to it and ask stuff like this.
Hey Google, is there a budget-friendly restaurant with vegan options along my route? Something within a couple miles?
I wonder how reliably this would work, but okay. And also this week we learned that Google Play and YouTube will no longer participate in the Movies Anywhere program, meaning that if you bought movies over either, they'll stop syncing over to other platforms. This is due to an ongoing dispute between Google and Disney, and one hopes that it will get resolved really soon. Then, in news that you probably saw coming, Tesla shareholders have approved Elon Musk's $1 trillion pay package. Over 75% of shares voted in favor of the proposal, and so Elon could become the world's first trillionaire, and then he also said that, quote, "I think we're going to build a gigantic fab," implying that he might take on TSMC and the like. Cool and normal. Next, in encouraging news, Video Cards reported that Linux has now broken the 3% mark on Steam, as the Steam Deck and general compatibility for gaming on Linux has improved a lot lately. Also, macOS has made a small increase, and while Windows still reigns supreme at almost 95%, it's clear that a bit of momentum is shifting away from it for gamers for the first time in a very long time. Then, also this week, Japan became the 29th country to get third-party app stores on the iPhone, as an iOS beta build enabled the likes of Altstore Pal to start testing in the country. To be fair, 27 of the 29 are just EU countries, but others include Brazil and Australia, and more might follow soon. Then on Tuesday, the European Space Agency successfully deployed Sentinel-1D via its Ariane 6 rocket. This is a special radar imaging satellite that can see through clouds and bad weather, and will provide ultra-precise images of Earth free of charge for use cases like disaster response, monitoring infrastructure, or shipping traffic. Very cool. And much less cool, but more cringe, is that Coca-Cola decided it didn't get roasted hard enough the last time they launched an AI-generated ad, and so they did it again. Ladies and gentlemen, the world's richest beverage company with a nearly unlimited advertising budget decided to make their most memorable commercial of the year a complete sloppy mess again. Thankfully, all the comments on YouTube are roasting them though, so I really hope that's something. And then probably my favorite news of the week is that as of yesterday, we're also offering free trials on Nebula. I've long been telling you how great our originals are and how fantastic the ad-free early access experience is, but now you can actually see it for yourself without having to commit right away. I of course have been doing a Q&A session at the end of every Friday checkout episode, including this one, and that has been very popular, so you could start with that. Then my 8-part Nebula original series, Technorama, is there for you to watch, which I absolutely loved doing. You could decide to get hooked on jet lag like seemingly every second Nebula subscriber has, or my biggest recommendation is the fantastic multi-hour documentary called 17 Pages that explores one of the most fascinating cases of scientific fraud with an amazing twist that would literally be impossible to pull off on any regular streaming platform. There is so much good stuff that we really think you'll get hooked. A subscription gets you access to great videos like these and helps us finance creating even more of what you love to watch. And if you like it and decide to put a ring on it later with my link gold.nebula.tv/tfc, which is also linked in the description, you can also get a big discount. Nebula costs just $36 for a full year instead of the $60 that you'd pay with a regular link, plus it also lets Nebula know that I sent you and that directly supports me. Oh, and if you hate ongoing subscriptions, we even have a lifetime offer. With a regular link, that's $500, but mine brings that down to just $300 as well. So go to go.nebula.tv/tfc or scan the QR code to start your free trial, and I hope to see you over there. Bye.